Now, I didn't become a Christian until I was 27, and so I didn't serve until I was, could you bring the volume down a little bit on me? Just a little bit. Until I was 27. And so what I think is really cool is that we have like Clayton and Will back there who are, Will's doing the slides for the very first time, and so far before 27 years old. Yeah. And so we have other, you know, teens and students that are doing the same thing, so I love it. All right, so I have a question I want you to think to yourself, not to answer out loud this time. And the question is following the Lord adventurous to you? And before you even shake your head, I mean, really think about it. Do you actually think of it as an adventure? I want you to think about that today. Because for most people, they'd have to say no. I mean, they'd be like, I describe, but an adventure? I mean, really? All right, so that's what we're talking about. There's a story I know of. There's a family of four. You have the mom and the dad. And you have two teenagers, and one's a boy, one's a girl, okay? Now, the parents had grown really concerned about the daughter. She was starting to just act in certain ways. She was starting to dress in certain ways that just made him extremely concerned. After a while, they caught her with drugs. And then not long after that, they found out that she was dating a guy that they just said was a loser. And were probably right. Okay, and so the dad's solution was to yell at her and make her to go to church. That's what he did. And so he would talk about it with this one guy, a friend of his, that was like a dear friend. And then eventually this very dear friend, because he had earned trust, was able to actually tell him something. And so he kept on talking about my daughter this and all that, and my son's fine and all that, but I have no idea why she's doing what she's doing, how she turned out the way she did. And, you know, we've tried on and on and on. And so this friend tells her, I think I know why she's doing this. The dad begins to guess the different things, and he's like, I don't think it's any of that. Any of the things that we would naturally guess, it's not that. He goes, here's what I think it is. I think she's choosing a better story. And he's like, well, what are you talking about? Because obviously it's not a better story. And he goes, well, just listen. He goes, and let me just say this. Look, we're all fascinated by interesting stories. You know, there's a story I tell, and I've told it here several times, but if I meet someone and for whatever reason, it comes up where I say, hey, did I ever tell you the story where me and my friend decided to eat Taco Bueno all weekend? Yeah, when I say that, no one's like, no, I never really heard about that. They always go, like, you did what? Like, they're interested. They, like, lean in a little bit, like, why would you even do that? Any story that piques her interest, any story that is at all interesting, we're drawn in. And so what this guy says is that I think she's choosing a better story. And he says, well, listen, look, the story that she's chosen, in this story, she kind of plays the character, and she's wanted in that story. Not in good ways, but she feels wanted, and everybody wants to feel wanted. He said that in her story, there is risk, and there's adventure. I mean, there are stories, and there's laughter. And so for her, that's a better story. And so he knows the family well. He goes, think about the story that you're offering your daughter. Parents are always yelling at each other. He said, in that story, she's always wrong. In that story, she's the one that's always getting yelled at. In that story, they attend church here and there. They're not really involved. They don't really know what it's like to walk in faith. And this is what he's explaining to me. He goes, and so for her, she's choosing what she thinks is the better story, like most people would do. And she's probably beginning to associate, and however he told it to this guy, like your boring story or your unappealing story, she's probably starting to associate that with God, whose story is actually great. And so the guy starts to take it in. He starts to think about it. Now, that's pretty frustrating to hear. But then the guy thinks, you know, I think he's right. And so what he does is a few weeks later, he calls a family meeting. So he decides, I'm going to stop yelling. I'm going to start making anybody go to church, all right? And here's what he does. He calls a family meeting, and he says, all right, I contacted an organization in Mexico. They need an orphanage out there, and it's going to cost $25,000. And we don't have any money, but I told them we would do it in the next 2 years. And it was like, wow, they'd never done anything like this. So they're like, what? And he forgot to clear it with his wife. So it's like, what? We don't have any money. It's $25,000. And so they're just like, you know, so they start talking about it, and it's like, what are you? What? And then, but it wasn't very long before the son goes, He goes, if we're going to go, it'd probably be kind of neat if we went down there to kind of look and see the place. And so I'll look up online how you get passports, and I'll start to look at some research and the area and all that type of stuff. And the dad's like, all right. And then the daughter says, you know, I mean, we can't raise $25,000. I mean, we don't have $25,000, so we need to find a way to raise that. And so, you know, like social media, you know, I'm going to go on there. I mean, maybe there's a way that we can start to use that to actually get some people that are interested, actually begin to tell the story about this group of people and their need for an orphanage and what's going to happen if they don't have an orphanage. And so the dad starts to watch, and he's just kind of like, huh, that's interesting. Now, a few weeks later, the girl breaks up with the boyfriend. Dad didn't say anything about it. The girl breaks up with the boyfriend. And so the question is why? And this is a story that actually happened. The story is why. And I think it's because she found a better story. I mean, now she was choosing a different, better story, one that was actually, it was good, because in this story, she actually gets to play the hero. Who doesn't want that? She actually has an impact on people's lives. You know, there's meaning behind this story, where the other story, no. You know, the other story, she gets used. And in this story, it's more real. And there is risk in this story also. I mean, because we don't have $25,000. We've promised that we're going to give them $25,000. There's risk. There's an actual, you know, the consequences are these kids won't get an orphanage. You know, there's adventure. How could we ever do this? And then also, with this risk and adventure, it's very, very meaningful. And then not only that, in this other story, you know, she has these things that she does that, you know, and she's getting high, and the next day she just wants to forget. But in this story, there are things that are happening that she never wants to forget, that she's always going to remember. So she just chose a better story. She probably started to look at this guy and said, I'm living this better story. I don't need that as part of my story. And she did not even need to be told or yelled at. And I think that's true of all of us. We all, every single one of us, we want better stories in our life. And so I ask again, just think to yourself, is God's story really, is it an adventure in your life? I mean, student, adult, it doesn't matter. Is it an adventure? Again, most people are like, I don't know. And here's the thing, if we've not learned how to live in a way where it's appealing to us and attractive, then not only do we take it in, parent or student, but we actually reflect that to others. You know, we might say, hey, you should come check out our church, but if we're not living in a way that it just seems like we're capturing God's story in a way that's adventurous, then it's not going to be appealing to other people. And so now the only people that really get to appreciate doing something like this, God's adventure and his mission, are the people that are actually committed to it. And, you know, we're talking, when you talk about a mission, you know, we think about adventure. We do. We think about the joy and the struggle and the fight and the twist and the turns and then the results that you enjoy because you are really, really part of the mission. All right, now, sometimes I ask a question and I say, give me some answers, all right? And I'm not going to do that with this one, but I think we'd have some easy answers. And the question was going to be, why do we not pick God's mission for our life? Why do we choose a different mission? All right, now we would come up with different things about busyness and, you know, and then just, you know, culture and pressure and all this type of stuff. We would come up with that. But I want to talk about two reasons that I don't think that we would think of naturally. All right, so let's go ahead and put this up. It's hard to way to phrase this, but let's see how it comes. The reasons why we choose a different mission than the Lord's. With other missions, we know what to expect, and the outcomes seem more attractive, right? Let's go ahead and leave that up for a little bit. Because what do I mean by that? Because I really believe this. As I thought about that, I came up with a lot of the answers that you already knew, but I was like, there's something more. And I think it's because, one, we know what to expect, and the outcomes seem more attractive. So let's talk about that. So first, let's some of the categories of things, other missions that we will pick. I mean, they're across the board. There are things like, for some people, work. That's their mission. That's their purpose. That's where they find meaning, right? And so there's work. There's, you know, fitness. Some people think that's it. I mean, I'm gonna run marathons. I'm gonna do all that. All that stuff's fine. But this is like their mission. This is what they do. Achievement. That's another one. Another mission. Popularity/respect. That's another one. Our family could be our mission. Again, these are good things. Very good. Most of them. Extracurricular activities or hobbies, they could just be, this is what we live for. This is our mission. Now, when I say that these missions, ones that we would pick that are different than the Lord has for us, when I say that we know what to expect, that we know how to figure a lot of these out, even if it's hard to do it. We can look at these missions and we can say, look, I know that I need to work hard. I know what to expect. I know that I'm going to need a break or two, but I know what to expect. You know, I know that it's going to take talent. I mean, it's going to take practice. But again, I know what to expect, and I can actually control those. I can control whether or not I work hard. Now, the Lord's mission, it takes some of those same things, but we don't really know what it's going to take. We don't really know what to expect. This is why that when we follow him in faith. And that's very mysterious to us. We're like, we don't really know. These other ones, well, I want to experience something, and so if I work hard, I'll get that. But then with faith, I think that a lot of us, we don't know what to expect. We don't know what to do. And so I think that's one reason. It's not as tangible. We can't just kind of chew on it. And so we're just thinking, I'm going to choose these other things because I just know what to expect. And I think the same thing is true with the outcomes seeming that they are more attractive. So when it comes to work, if I succeed at work, if I make that my mission, then I'm going to get more money and I'm going to get a promotion. The benefit's clear, right? And so when it comes to fitness, well, then I'm going to look good. I'll look better. If I'm working out, then I'm going to look good. I'm going to feel good. I'm going to be healthier. These are all very good benefits. If it's achievement, maybe it's status. If I achieve, then people will look at me in the way I want them to look at me. If I don't achieve, I won't, so I better, you know. But that's the benefit. If I'm popular or respected, then I'm going to be liked. I mean, that's just a benefit. I'll feel better about myself. If my goal is my family, and of course, the priority of that is very high for, it should be for everybody. But if I make that's the biggest thing in my life, then what I'm going to have is maybe more peace in my house. I'll have love, you know. My kids will grow up, and they'll have a college fund, and they'll be better. And so we have these things that are obvious benefits. When it comes to these extracurricular activities, they're great. When it comes to hobbies, well, I'm going to have fun. I'm going to have friends. I'm going to have accomplishment. So again, the outcomes, they're attractive. They're obvious to us. But when it comes to following the Lord, I think that a lot of us think they're not nearly as attractive. You'll have inexpressible joy. Like, what? I mean, I'm happy enough. I'm all right. I mean, I think if I get me a new this or that, I think that will bring me joy too. So I better work hard. That's more tangible. See, this is what I mean as I get to this. The benefits don't seem to be as beneficial to us. Because look, here's one of them right here. If you follow the Lord into his mission, you're going to be more generous. I'm not sure I want that. Because then that, with what? Like my money? Is that, a lot of us don't find that attractive. Like, I don't know. It's like, okay, well, here's the thing. You're going to forgive those that don't deserve to be forgiven if you follow the Lord. That's a benefit. I don't know. I mean, does this seem like a benefit? I'd rather just work hard. I'd rather just be popular. You know? I don't know. Or if you follow the Lord, here's a benefit. You're going to put other people before yourself. Really? I mean, how's that a benefit? I don't know. That benefits them, not me. So, see what I mean? This is why I say that the outcomes don't seem as attractive in following the Lord. And how about this one? Okay, all that stuff that you're really worried about, like you had that sin that you could never shake, you did that thing, or because of this situation, you've always been afraid of that, and you've avoided it your whole life, you ignore it and all that. Okay, so if you follow the Lord, here's a benefit. You're going to face your greatest fears. I don't know. That doesn't sound like a benefit. Because I think that if I just, you know, pour myself into this extracurricular, this hobby or this extracurricular activity, I might get a scholarship, and then, you know, it's going to be fun, all that, and I wouldn't necessarily like to put myself for, you know, it doesn't seem like it's as beneficial. And I think this is a reason why we don't choose to follow the Lord. And as a result, we don't ever find out those things really enrich our lives. We're thinking, enrich our life, what does that even mean? I'd rather just have a nice car or a nice home or my family not to be slapping each other around. I would just like to, you know, get along better. And so it's just interesting, but I think this is a big reason. Now, when we, again, it doesn't seem adventurous, but it really is, because it doesn't even seem to make sense that we would follow someone that we do not see to do things we don't even think we want to do in order to experience things we may not want to experience, and by the way, face our greatest fears at the same time. This is following the Lord, so I think we don't necessarily choose that. We choose the other things that seem to have an obvious benefit. We know what it takes. Again, this is going to require faith, and I don't even know what that means. I mean, I know that I'm supposed to have this faith, but I don't even know what that means. If I have faith, he might require me to do something I do not know. I don't know what to expect. And so, again, that doesn't seem very, very beneficial either. Okay, you can take that down. Thanks. Well, so years ago, I used to hang out in bars a lot. And so we'd go there, and during this period of my life, it was particularly two. One was called, it's Cowboys in Arlington. The other one was the Red Jacket, Lower Greenville in Dallas. And so I'd go there, and then you'd be there, you're having a good time, everybody's laughing, it's like we're having the time of our life. And, you know, and it's, yeah. And so we were doing that, and I remember a time, and this happened at both different places. So, like, in the same weekend, one was a Wednesday night, one was a Friday, and then I'd fill in other places in between. But I remember in both places, I was like, to two different groups of people. I just said, because everybody's having fun, all right? So I just say, hey, I have an idea, everybody. Everybody's like, Ray has an idea. Everybody, we're going to listen to what his idea is. They're just ready to make fun of me, or they're just like, well, let's just see what this idea is. Let's see if it's a good idea. So everybody's coming in and say, I have this idea. And everybody begins having fun. And I tell them, I say, here's my idea. Let's go skydiving. And then at the first time, I was like, yeah, we're going to go skydiving, we're going to fall on a plane, everything like that, it's going to be great. Everybody's like, yeah, and they're cheering, and it's like, it's great, and everybody's going to do it. And I'm like, all right, that's great. And then everybody's excited. It'll be awesome. And I said, all right, well, then let's go. And they're like, yeah, I mean, I've always wanted to do that because I just, you know, I think it'd be incredible. People that do that, they're awesome. And so I think I'm probably going to want to do that also. And then I'm like, all right, well, then I have an idea. So the idea, then let's actually go. And they're like, well, I'm just a little bit busy. Just like, but, I mean, it'd be great. It would be great. You hear me saying that it would be great. I'm like, well, then I know that we're busy. Let's just do it. And then I'm like, all right, because that's the idea, and I have this idea. Let's go skydiving. There's two different groups of people, and they're all responding the same way over time. And they're just like, well, I mean, I just didn't really think you were serious. Like, it was kind of late in the evening, and we were all just kind of talking, and this guy said, you know, that he was going to go, you know, propose to that girl across the place. They never met her before, and you said that, and I thought that was kind of like one of those things, you know? And they're like, all right. And they're like, I don't know. And then I'm like, yeah, I know, but I have an idea. Let's just do it anyway. And then after a while, they're like, man, I'm not jumping out of a plane. They're like, that's just dumb. You know, it's expensive. I don't have time. I'm busy. And plus, it's jumping out of a plane. Who does that? I was like, well, I had an idea and don't want to do my idea. And so anyway, I finally find a group to go, all right? And it took a while. And so I have my main man, Bob, and then I have two favorite bartenders. One was named Becky, so she went, and then her friend Jill, and then some other vato, I don't remember his name. Vato, dude in Spanish, if you don't know. And so this other guy, and I don't remember his name, but he went too. And so, this is what was cool, and I love this. All right, so it was my idea. So I'm the one that said, I have an idea. So I'm excited. Nobody knows that I'm mortified, terrified of heights. That's why I want to do it. All right. So we get out there, and I'm going to be the last one. And it was for no reason, but I was just like, man, this is exciting. And so we kind of go through it was going to be a tandem jump where someone's hooked onto you and all that. And so everybody kind of goes, and it's fun. It's like, and they would do it, and they would come back, and it's weird. I mean, it wasn't hot, but you come back sweating because the adrenaline and all this. And so they would come back, and they're like, everybody's terrified. And everybody's getting, you know, building courage into the people. And everybody went. And then it gets to me. And then the guy comes. That's some crazy dude, man. This guy was crazy. He jumps out of a plane full. Of course he's crazy. And so he comes out, and he goes, man, it's dark. He goes, dude. And all skydiving people have to say, dude, we can't go. And I'm like, I'm not going to be the one person that didn't go skydiving, right? And so I'm like, and I'm just like, I mean, he goes, look, we don't have time to give you the instruction that you need to be able to go to do it. You have all these steps. I gave it to everybody else, which took so long. We don't have time. It's dark. So I said, dude, I'm trying to talk his language. Dude, I was like, I have an idea. Let's just do it anyway. And so this, you know, skydiving guy, he goes, he wants to go anyway to all the skydiving buddies. And they're like, yeah, dude. You know, I was just going back and forth with the dudes. And so we get up there, and we get up to the plane. And so he's strapping the stuff on. And so he begins to give me instruction. And he goes, okay, all this stuff, we don't have time to tell you everything I need to tell you. I'm going to tell you everything from the point of opening the door. I'm like, all right, dude. And so he says, okay, the first thing we're going to do is we're going to open the door of the airplane. And I'm like, all right, that sounds like necessary, so we'll do that. And he goes, when you look out, you're going to be terrified. Duly noted. So then he says, okay, the first thing we'll do after that is you are going to step onto the platform of the wheel of the plane. I said, what? I was like, really? And he goes, yeah, and then you're going to hold on to the wing. And I'm like, this is real, man. You're going to hold on to a wing. And I'm like, golly. I was like, this is crazy. And so the door flies open. I step onto the, and it's a little platform. So you step out, and you're thinking to yourself, I can't believe I'm doing this. You've seen people, stuntmen do this, right? And I'm like, and I wasn't that scared. It was weird. I'm afraid of heights. But for some reason, that wasn't that, it was something. And so I step on there, and he goes, now grab the wing. And so I grab onto the wing, and I can't believe I'm holding onto the wing. And so he's giving me instruction, and he told me which one to pull or whatever. And I'm like, wow, this is crazy. So then the thing that happens is that he goes, all right, we're ready to go. And they don't give you, I mean, it's like, let's go, all right? And so he pulls me off of the wing of the plane. And the first thing you do is they make you roll. So you spin, and then you land. And I tell you, the very first four seconds are unlike anything I have ever felt in my life. I can't even explain. You know, it's, you know, the roller coaster feeling, but like times 20. Like, you have to scream not out of fear, because the thing that builds up so much inside of you, you have to let out, all right? And then after those 4 seconds, after you, it seems like a long time, you spin and you're lost. You're confused for a second because you're rolling. And then you land like that, and then that's when you go boom. And he helps control it because you're attached. And then that's when you're flying. Well, you're flying, but the ground's hurling up at 120 miles an hour towards you. So, but you feel like you're flying. And then at that point, I mean, you just start pumping your fist. And then I have it on video. And and so you're looking at the camera, and you're pointing, and you're just kind of like, you can't believe it. Because I was free-falling for like 31 seconds. And then it's dark, you know, and the sun's setting. And I'm like, this is incredible. The guy's yelling dude over and over again. And so we're falling. And then we pull the thing, and then it yanks you up harder than you would imagine. And then he's like, where do we land? And I'm like, I thought you knew. And so, but you're learning to control it, because I didn't know how to do it. I didn't have instructions. So you're learning to control it as you go. Don't recommend, but it was what was happening. And then he goes, over there. It's awesome. Yeah, everybody had formed a circle with their lights of their car around the target where we're going to land. And so we come down, and I was just like, wow. I mean, as I couldn't believe I did. I'm all sweaty, and it wasn't even, but, you know, just because of the adrenaline, and I just couldn't believe it. We had planned to go out that night, and that's what we did back then, and it was maybe 7. None of us did, because the adrenaline went up so high, came down so much, we just had to go lay down. And I tell you what, man, whenever I'd walk into those places, man, I'd walk in, all those people that said, you know, like, I remember walking to the Cowboys, the Cowboy place, people, strong, tough Cowboys. And I walk in one time, and these two cowboys come up with their hats on and all this stuff, and then they're looking, hey, heard you went skydiving. And I'm like, I mean, I went, it's not, you know, acting like it's, you know, no big thing. Like, it's what I do every weekend. And they're like, you know what would be really cool? Bull riding. That's what we do. And I look at them, and I say, I have an idea. I said, you go skydiving with me, and I'll go bull riding with you. And I'm so glad they said no. But every time I would walk into that bar, I'd walk in, and two big, strong, tough cowboys would look away, and I'd be like, that's right. Big, strong, tough cowboy, don't come around me no more. You know, I was like, yeah. All right, it is awesome. All right, so, okay. If you follow the Lord, if you follow the Lord, you're going to have times that he whispers into your heart, I have an idea. And if you follow him, you know. And he will. And it's not going to be like this thing of skydiving, but it's going to be very personal. It's going to be something that might not even make sense. It's going to be something that you're like, I never would have thought of that. I wouldn't choose to do that. But something is saying, I have an idea. And it's like, and then when we look at the big picture of God's idea, he's saying, you were reached, and I am going to reach you. I'm going to use you to reach other people. Like, that's the idea. And he goes, and you're like, well, I don't even know. I mean, it's all stirring on the inside. And his idea, so you're like, okay, God, what's this idea? And he goes, the idea, and you're not going to think it's what it is. The idea is actually the church. What's your plan B? He goes, I don't have a plan B. That's it. The church. He goes, and you're the church. And so you start to think to yourself, it's like, what do you mean, like Sunday? And he goes, well, that's Sunday. That's very important. But and these are things that just kind of stir if you're following him. It's not like just a one-time deal, but it's stirring. He's like, yeah, I mean, it's that, but it's more. I mean, Sunday's good, but it's more than that. And you're thinking, well, you're talking about like serving and all that. And he's like, yeah, but it's more than that. It's not just like fulfilling, just filling a role. And I mean, it's learning to live by the Spirit. I mean, it's learning to live in role. It's love and joy and peace. I mean, it's patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and selfness and self-control. All while everything is saying, don't live that way. Do something else. You're going to be swimming upstream, and it's not going to sound beneficial, but that's the idea. You know, and in that, you're going to have to face those fears. We're going to have to walk through it together, and it's just like, well, and it's, that's the idea. You have to love people, and at first, we might be like, okay, yeah, I love the Lord, but then as he keeps talking, it's like those people in the bar, they're like, we start to talk ourselves out of it. Like, you're going to love people, like really love them, love in a way that other people don't do, ways that right now you might be uncomfortable in thinking about. And not only that, as part of the church, you're going to be someone who's to be counted on. Like, you are in. You are part of the mission. That's the idea. And you're just going to have to follow a little bit at a time. And you're going to have to do life with people like you've never experienced. Ways that you're going to talk yourself out. You're going to have to trust me. I had to trust that crazy dude guy when I was jumping out of a plane. And God's a whole lot more trustworthy. And he's saying, you are going to have to trust me because you're not going to want to go. And so I ask you, because we as a church, he is calling us to be something special. He calls the church to be something special. So I have to ask you if you are willing to do things you've never done to get to places you've never been. You do not get to places you've never been by doing the same thing you've always done. Let me ask you a question. This is one to give me some very quick answers. A person who's actually on mission, you think of a team, you think about the group, you think about the workplace, but someone that's like, okay, that organization, that's their mission, and I'm on mission. Like, and you know they're on mission. What are some of the characteristics that they have that you're like, yeah, that person's on mission, I can tell? What do they do? How are they?
Driven.
They're driven, all right? They're driven toward the mission. What else?
Intentional,
right. They're actually thinking, okay, if I'm going to make this mission happen, they're just not just walking around. They're looking, okay, how does this all work together? Here's the mission. All right, very intentional with what they do. What else? Give me a few more.
Prepared.
They're prepared. Uh-huh. Yep, they're prepared. Good. What else? Yep, and they're going to push through because they're going toward the mission. And if something gets in the way, it doesn't stop from going toward the mission. What else?
They work with others to get to their goal.
They do. Absolutely. What else? Work with others. They are committed. Yep, but that's right on. That's good. Very good. They do. That's the mission. That's the mission. And then not only that, they're sacrificial. We think about those people that have been on mission, and we see them in movies or we see them in life, and then they are going to sacrifice in order for the mission. They put the mission first oftentimes, not in an unhealthy way, but in the appropriate way. And so everything you're saying is right on. So for you and me, look, we're going to try and talk about these in a different way today. Will, why don't you hit me with the four things? I think that's what this. Okay, I try to simplify things because I need things simple. We talk about ways to be part of God's story, and then ultimately God's story, but then also part of the story church. So let's try to think about it. It's so easy to kind of go down a list, but let's try to think about it in a different way. So like connect. And remember, you're asking yourself if you're on mission. And I'm doing the same thing. Whatever I say you, I mean me. Are you on a mission together right now with others who are in God's going towards God's mission? They're part of God's mission. Are you on the mission with them? The same characteristics that we've just talked about that you all said, do you have that in yourself when it comes to being connected? Because the Bible's clear about being connected. So are you on mission together? Like, we're talking about developing trust. We're talking about sacrificing, about having that single focus, about being intentional. This is how I live my life because I'm called to live connected. Can you be counted on as a team member in the mission? Just think to yourself. And even as I say, because we have opportunities, all the community groups, we have a camp out that we can talk ourselves out of this coming Sunday, the type of thing that we'll say, you know what, we should do stuff like that more often. There's an opportunity right there, a simple step towards connecting with others. Okay, when it comes to serving, we're not just talking about filling a role, but when someone's trying to help a mission happen and they're serving a role, they serve in such a way that they help accomplish the mission. They say, it could be the nursery, it could be kids, it could be the set up, tear down. And it's a thing. There's an old story about a guy who someone walks up a church building and he's working within the church building and he's just kind of sweeping stuff up, that big old long broom type thing. And hey, so what are you doing? And he goes, I'm leading people to Christ. He's on mission. He is sweeping and he's leading people to Christ. And so if we are going to be serving with that mission in mind, are we doing it in such a way that we're saying, this is how I'm helping the mission be accomplished? And then inviting. It's almost like you're doing recon work. You're out there and you're hunting and you're looking for people. And it's not because you're trying to, I'm going to pretend to care for them in order to get more people show up. No, we care about them because we care about them. And we love them. And we want them to actually be brought into the family of God. Because we're starting to grow an understanding of what the benefit actually is. And so when you're out there looking and you're like, I've been put here. God could have put anyone here. He put me. He put me to be part of the mission, to influence other people, to build into them, to help them when no one else will, to talk to them when no one else will, to love them, to care for them, and then say, oh, by the way, I love for you to come on a Sunday. And then that's not it. Then you spend time with them, and then you just kind of build into them what other people have done to you if you've allowed them. So that's what we talk about. We talk about inviting. It's not just inviting people. Oh, would you come check it out? It can be very casual like that, but you're looking. There's people right now that Jason and I know. In fact, I was at one of their houses last night a little, but you have these people that aren't part of a church, and you talk to them, and you build a relationship, and you look for the right opportunity for a nice casual invitation. The last one, percentage giving, everybody's favorite topic. When you're on mission, when God's mission, you're going to realize the money you have belongs to God. And so we give a percentage because that's scriptural. We give a percentage without fail. So again, we're out of town. We don't think twice about it. It's like, well, I'm on mission. I'm going to be out of town, but I'm on mission with my money because that's one of the things I have. And so I'm going to give. I'm going to find a way to give. You know, and I'm going to continue to look towards to give. And on Sunday, it's also beyond here. When someone has a need, I'm going to meet that need. How am I going to meet that need? We don't have $25,000. How in the world can we help an orphanage happen? I have no idea. But let's start. We'll figure it out. And so do we have the mission in mind? It's like, I'm doing this as an obligation. No. Do we have the mission in mind? You know, I need to do this more, but when I give, I'll give and I'll pray, Lord, multiply this times 1,000. Multiply it times 100. Multiply it times 10. Whatever it is, Lord. And then help us to have the wisdom to realize it's from you and it's for you. And if you have little, you have a percentage of little. I said, well, my little bit. I mean, students, if you're just now starting to work, or adults, you make a little, you know, someone gave you $25 and I didn't even think about adding $250 or $3 or more or whatever. What does it, it's just a little bit of money. How does it make a difference? The difference it makes is in you. That's the difference. It gives us a heart, and he tells us, you've trusted with little, you'll be trusted with more. Not necessarily meaning finances. It's a perspective thing. When we become a Christ follower, it's like you've been wearing red sunglasses your whole life, and you take them off and you put blue ones on. You see everything differently. That's how it's to look when we're on mission. And when you have more, when it comes to finances, you give more as a percentage. And this kind of the funny thing. It was a long time ago, but it was like I used to give, and they were like a 10% or something. And that was. I did that, but then I started making a lot more money. It's harder to give. And the thing was, all right, we'll take care of that. I'll pray for you. All right, that's great. I'll pray that God gives you less money again so you can give as God leads. It's like, wait. And then it's like, no, here's the thing. And I heard this week, and I thought it was great. When God gives us more, it's not to raise our standard of living. It's to raise our standard of giving. Because I know, you pay off that bill, I got $300 extra a month. Wow, I can get, and it's like, okay, is our first thought, and it's not about the church, and it's about God being obedient and trusting God, but it's like, I now have some more money freed up to be able to give. Maybe not all the 300, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that, God, what would you have me give from this? And then it's amazing what he does. Then you start to buy into the mission more and more because you are invested. You're not. We don't experience, and we don't, when we're not invested in a mission, we don't experience, you know, the joy of it or the struggle and the fight through and the desires. And then the joy when we see part of the mission begin to show up. You know, we have opportunities. Of course, there's giving. We're to give regularly on Sunday. You can go online, P.O. Box. Like next Sunday, like one of the reasons why people would say don't do that at the campout because people aren't going to give. It's like, well, we got to find a way to still give. We can't just not. It's like, we're camping out. It's a week off. It's not. That's not how we, this thing. It's just, we have a different perspective. And, you know, this year, we have Be Rich coming up again. We did it last year. And it's all about being rich in good deeds. Where we took our first offering we've ever done, and we gave it all away. We gave it to Jeremiah Hart, who was nearly killed in a car accident, young guy. You know, we showed up, some of us, on a Monday, on a Saturday morning, to breakfast. And the waitress that's always there with a great attitude, we said, here's an envelope full of cash, just because. I mean, we gave money to provide the thing we do now, Adopt a Block. We gave money to provide the food. We gave money to them. We gave clothing to them. Man, we went on and on. There was like 10 different things that we did. The students planned this thing where we went into a nursing home, and then the band played music, and we walked around talking to people. They made blankets, and it was like, be rich, good deeds. And then we're going to do that again this year. You might have, your heart might start to have some ideas, and so we're going to have opportunities to do what we're talking about. And then I would even say Sunday, when it's a priority, I mean, when we have the mission in mind, when you're part of, when you gather as a team, you don't skip on team meetings. I mean, it's just a perspective thing. You know, it is. And it's the value of just being there. It's not that a sermon's going to change your life every time. But over time, gathering with the church does change your life. Our desires change. It's amazing. And so with every one of these, we have to look, we have to ask, can I be counted on? Because to connect, what is that? It's just me, whether or not I want to do it. No. You're being counted on as part of the body of Christ to be the body of Christ. And so can you be counted on to connect? Can you be counted on to serve in such a way you're helping make the mission happen, whether it's leadership or whatever? Can you be counted on to invite people? Can you be counted on to be here for others when they invite? Can you be counted on to give as God has so clearly led? I have to ask myself the same thing. Years ago, Michael Jordan played in a game. You can take that down, Will. Michael Jordan played, and it was he woke up in the middle of the night. Go ahead and take it down. He woke up with a flu, and it was like 100, and the temperature 104. I mean, it was ridiculous. It was like you got to go to the hospital type thing. And he was dehydrated. I mean, it was bad. Scottie Pippen later said the way he saw him, he didn't think he'd be able to even put the uniform on. And I don't think it was for dramatic effect. If you ever saw the game, where you can look up the highlights. Well, Jordan dressed up and he went to a dark room by himself, and he just stayed there. And all anybody knows is when he came out, he says, I can play. As he was playing, there was a few times he just fell down for no reason. He would slouch, and if you look up online, you'll see him slouching. You know, you would see him hit a shot. And, you know, when it was a great shot or something, and people kind of were like, all right. And he would hit it, and he wouldn't even react. And he just kept playing. He had 38 points. This is the championship, by the way. Oh, by the way. And he had 38 points. And that included the game winner. And he didn't even react after he hit that. And when he's walking off the court, Scottie Pippen is holding him up as he's carrying him. And the coach and Scottie Pippen pretty much said, that's why he's the greatest there's ever been. You saw the reason tonight. He did tonight what other people cannot do when they're at their very best. I'm sure it was worth it. I mean, we know that he was on mission. We know it was worth it. For Jordan, it was worth it for the Bulls. So let me ask you something. When it comes to our mission, are we playing for anything less than a trophy? God has invited us to be part of the greatest mission in the world. I'm going to fly. We have to accept the invitation. I'm going to read some things that we don't have time to dig into and apply, but this is a guy named Paul, and what he's doing is he's encouraging people. He wants them to experience what we're talking about. I mean, to feel the fullness of Christ, to serve him, to be on mission, to be, I can be counted on with the mission. I'm going to fail, but I can be counted on. You can trust me. I'm on the team. I'm going to help make the mission happen by God's grace. And so you'll see how at least a lot of this applies. This is out of Ephesians chapter 3. For this reason, I bow my knees, talking about prayer, before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with the fullness of God. Later on in Ephesians. Now this I say and testify in the Lord, that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles. That's people that weren't Jews. They didn't believe in God. They didn't follow the Lord. Don't be like the Gentiles in the futility of their minds. They are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to their hardness of heart. They have become callous and have given themselves up to sensuality, greed, to practice every kind of impurity. But that is not you. That's not the way you learned Christ, assuming that you have heard about him and were taught in him as the truth is in Jesus. To put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Let me give you one more. I therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling of which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, patience, bearing with one another in love. I mean, look at this, is what we are to be. Bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body, one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. All right. So when we walk away this week, like we can say, so I'm going to sign up. Okay, which of the four things, connect and all those, which of the four things do you feel like you have to take a step in? That's great. But here's what I want you to ask yourself. And I get this actually from Matthew 6:33. Will, let's go ahead and put up Matthew 6:33. I get what I'm about to say from this verse. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and these things will be added as well. All that other stuff that we desire, the true desires of our heart, will be added if we just focus first on the kingdom. So instead of saying, hey, which of the four do you need to take a step in? That's great. Here's what I'm going to ask you to ask yourself. Can I be counted on in the mission? Other people are counting on you. Can you be counted on? If you feel that you're like, you know what, I've been at a place where I don't know that I could say I can be counted on. I'm not even sure what that looks like, but I'm willing to find out. Then I would say, if that's you, and some of you are already there, some of you, I would say, come up to me and say, look, I want to be someone that can be counted on. I don't know what that's going to look like, but I'm willing to start. Here's the thing. Do you feel, if we really talk about committing to something, if we feel hesitancy, like even right now, look, that's what it feels like when you're really considering the fact that others might count on us. I know that if someone's going to count on me, then I have to be trustworthy. I have to be willing to sacrifice. I have to be willing to help. I have to build those relationships. I have to invite and love people. I have to connect. I have to give. See, there's a hesitancy because we have a hard time committing. So this is why the scriptures say, count the cost. Before you start saying you're following Jesus, actually count the cost as to following him. And then when you know in your heart of hearts to say, you know what, I'm in. All right, let's close with this. I've said before there's a problem in our culture. Let's show that problem, Will. The problem in our culture is that most people, well, people don't believe that God's awesome. Why? Because we don't follow him. We don't follow him, so we don't experience these awesome stories that are better than skydiving. Right? We don't, because we don't follow him. I'm not saying everybody. I'm just, you know what I mean? People as a whole don't believe he's awesome for that reason. Don't believe the church is worthwhile. Because I tell you what, for the people whose mission, who are on mission, including some people I talked to, I had lunch with this week, you have a conversation, and you know they're on mission, and they're praying for people. They're saying, how can we help? How can we make things stronger? How can we make it better for kids? How can we make it better for students? How can we make it better for adults and singles and married and people that are younger and people that are older, people that are on mission? When you're that, then you realize that the church is worthwhile. But that's it. They don't believe God's awesome, the church is worthwhile, and that their lives can really change the world. I mean, what can I really do? I'm one person. What can my, even if 10% of my money is not much, it's a difference in you. When people see that, it does change things. All right, so that's the problem. Let's look at the solution. And this is our vision. This is who I believe God has called us to be. We become a church where the life changes so contagious we can't possibly keep it to ourselves. The reason why it's a vision, it's like, I believe this can happen. Fully, I've seen it happen in people's lives. But it becomes this thing, it's like, can that ever really happen? It's if we're following the Lord, this is what does happen. God so changes us in our fear, in our pain, and the sin that's been in our life, and in our relationships, that we want other people to experience. It becomes contagious. We can't keep it to ourselves. We don't think, oh, I don't want to invite. We just think, how can I find a way to invite them? Because I want them to know this Jesus that I know. That's contagious, but we have to follow him. So let's leave that up, Will. That's the problem, and that's the solution. I have an idea. Why don't we just go ahead and become that church right there? Let's pray. My Lord and God, I thank you that you have invited us to be part of your mission. That would not have happened outside of first being invited to a relationship with you through Jesus, who died on the cross for our sin, to pay the penalty for our sin so we wouldn't have to. And when we believe and trust in this, in Jesus, in this, then Lord, we are brought into a relationship with you, and we are brought into the family of God. And Lord, we are to be on mission. So Lord, no matter where we are in this, I pray that you encourage us, because if today, even if it's the first day that we say, you know what, I'm going to be on mission. I'm going to be someone that can be counted on. Lord, that's the beginning of a great story. No matter where we are, we can find such encouragement in this that you would offer that to even us. And so, Lord, I have to be frank with you. I'm tired of being a small church. Now, I know you know what you're doing, and I know that I most often don't. Life is too short to miss out on being the type of church that is, where the faith is so contagious we cannot possibly keep it to ourselves. This is what you designed us for. But in order for that to happen, it's going to take all of us being willing to be counted on, being willing to be on mission. And so, Lord, my prayer is that you do whatever you need to do to our hearts, that we would look off into the uncertainty of where you're calling us, to the uncertainty of the benefits that we see in following you, and to be able to say, Lord, I'm going to follow you anyway. You can count on me. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.